What's been making news this week? Tony Allen.
Well, we had the first significant announcement this week from the new Federal Agriculture Minister, Joel Fitzgibbon, who was gathered with the Queensland Agriculture Minister, John McVeigh, at Emerald in central Queensland. Queensland is going to be the first state to benefit from the federal government's emergency farm finance package. Now, this is designed to provide $60 million to Queensland and later money to other states over 2 years to support farmers who are struggling with debt. Now, the big problem in Queensland is the fact that the cattle farmers in particular have suffered from bushfires, drought and cuts to the live export trade, and they are deeply in debt. Now, this deal in Queensland took 2 months to sign, but Mr. Fitzgibbon says the money should start flowing as soon as the state works out how to assess the applications for it.
We're not inviting farmers to take on more debt. What we're doing is taking roughly half of their debt off the books of the bank and putting that debt on the Commonwealth's books for 5 years, and we'll allow them to pay an interest-only loan at a lower interest rate. So it's a substantial debt servicing relief for those farm families.
It's still a big topic of discussion with the other states. I know in Victoria, they want the government to say what the criteria is going to be. So it'll be interesting to see if Queensland said, well, we'll work that out so they can get the money.
Yes, it's like every government announcement. It gets announced and then the details are still to be worked out, and that takes a long time. There is some good news for those cattle producers, though. The cattle market, where the prices were very low because so many cattle were being slaughtered, has, I suppose the phrase would be, bottomed out. It's not falling anymore, starting to rise, and now cattle are selling for about 330 cents a kilo. So that's what a farmer makes, about $3.30 a kilo.
Whereas we pay four times that.
That's right. And beef exports were also at a record in May at more than 100,000 tonnes. So that's a bit of promise for the industry. And Matt Costello from Rabobank says it's all because of that glut of cattle from regions in drought, which were sent to the abattoir.
For the January to May period, we've processed around an extra additional 390,000 head of cattle, and you look at where prices ended up falling through May, you know, there's no real surprise given how much additional product we did see come onto the market. I certainly think we will see a tightening of supply through these winter months.
Interesting, with the new Prime Minister and his cabinet, we're seeing a new anti-dumping agency as a way of dealing with the high dollar and cheap imports.
Well, I think this one was in preparation before the leadership changed, actually, because it arose largely out of the problems at the SPC cannery in Victoria, where they were hit by cheap tomatoes from Italy and cheap peaches dumped
South
on
Africa.
The market. Yeah, and so the government did promise to look into it. Well, this week the government launched an anti-dumping commission. It has a modest budget, and its job is to help deal with that spike of complaints about imported goods being sold in Australia below cost price. Now, it's not just about fruit. It's not even just about food. Timber industries, we're getting cheap wood dumped here, steel and aluminium as well. So it's quite a widespread problem. And the steel industry is among the groups welcoming this new anti-dumping agency, says it could prevent the sector from losing hundreds of millions of dollars. That's the view of Ian Cairns from the Australian Steel Institute.
Well, it's chitting, I guess, in the one word. It's really chitting against your fellow competitor. Hundreds of millions of dollars, if you put it through the whole industry, certainly the Australian steel supply chain and all the other industries that go with it. We approve of the new authority. We believe it's going to be more autonomous and will have a greater focus on the anti-dumping for the industry.
Yes, indeed, as you mentioned, SBC, and they're pointing the finger very much at South Africa.
Yes, well, they reckon two-thirds of the problems in the whole fruit processing industry due to peaches from South Africa. I'm not quite sure on what they base this claim, but SPC is the first company in Australia that will have its case investigated by the new commission, and the commission has promised to report on that within 2 to 6 months. SPC accuses South Africa of dumping peaches, Italy of dumping tomatoes illegally in Australia at significantly reduced prices. The SPC Managing Director, Peter Kelly, does admit getting a case to succeed is going to be difficult.
You've got to prepare an economic case to prove the financials of a company in another country. And that's very hard to do because obviously they don't help in giving you the information that you want to show that they've been dumping their products. So it's quite hard. You've got to replicate their economics and then put the case to the Commission in a way that they think is valid, and we've passed that first test.
Now, this one's fascinating. I have to confess, Tony, when I first saw this chicken ad on television, I was a tad dubious.
The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has had claims it made upheld by the federal court that Steggles ads saying its chickens were free to roam in barns were misleading. It actually said the chickens had a living space smaller than an A4 piece of paper, which I'm actually reading the news from at this moment. I can't imagine a chicken fitting on that, but apparently that's for part of their lives. In the barns, that's all they had. And the ACCC says all industry bodies should take note of this ruling on misleading advertising. The Chicken Meat Federation has told us nothing's going to change as a result of the ruling because the industry has already stopped using the term free to roam.
So they haven't made the paper any big. They're just not saying that
they're
that's
just
how
not
big
saying
it is.
They're free to roam. But Commissioner Sarah Court from the ACCC says the ACCC is considering levelling penalties against the Chicken Meat Federation itself, which was also found to have engaged in misleading conduct.
If industry associations want to get involved in these kind of significant marketing campaigns, then the industry association itself has to make sure that what it is telling its members and encouraging its members to do also falls within the confines of the law. And industry associations across the board, I think, will now be sitting up and taking notice of their potential liability for this kind of conduct.
It's, of course, not only the ACCC that doesn't like it, nor do other free-range egg farmers who say it's not fair that they say that they're free to roam.
Yes, that's right. Mm.
Now, we frequently hear about the problem with wild dogs, and most people seem to think that if you killed the dogs, you'd just have more problems with foxes and cats, but not so.
Yes, it's been a big week for news on feral animals. In fact, every week seems to be a big week for news on feral animals. This week's news is some research from the Invasive Animals Cooperative Research Centre. It looked at the theory that if you take the top predator in the environment out, that is dogs and dingoes and so on, it would mean that the smaller predators explode in numbers. But they looked at areas where wild dog baiting was going on and how it affected numbers of feral cats and foxes. Wild dog researcher Ben Allen says it's not the case that these numbers of cats and foxes exploded. He said the foxes were also killed by the baits. And the cats, well, they depend on smaller prey and they just didn't care. You know, like cats always, they just didn't care.
In a lot of the sites where we worked, baiting once or two or three or four times a year, you can reduce dog populations in our study by anywhere between 43 and 77%. So you can knock them down. But even when you do, you don't see the foxes and cats increase because you're killing foxes as well. And cats just sort of sit back and watch what goes on.
That's a cat.
I wonder if they're watching when the wild dogs ate the Peking ducks, Tony.
Well, this is a real tragedy, particularly if, like me, you really like eating duck. Obviously, the wild dogs too, because they ate more than 100 ducks on a free-range property in northern New South Wales. These were pasture-raised Peking ducks that fetch a premium in the city restaurant trade. And the duck farmer Hayden McMillan, who's very upset, has since received training and approval to lay 1080 dog baits on the property in the hope that no more ducks get eaten.
We're still going feral, with feral pigs going nuts.
Well, they're eating macadamia nuts in vast quantities. We had a photo on our website this week of the stomach contents of a feral pig at an orchard in southeast Queensland. It was nothing but mashed macadamias. The region produces about 40% of the Australian crop, and Brian Cadats from the Australian Macadamia Society says a moderate-sized feral pig can eat up to 6 kilos of macadamia nuts an hour.
That's a hell of a lot of nuts.
Yep, and the wet weather has made the problem worse.
It's very widespread and it's increasing. We have big incursions now being reported in orchards in Bundaboo, right through the Bopple Tyro area, Merribara, up to Gympie, and down as far south as Caboolture. A lot of these pigs in the southeast corner are domiciled in state and national parks.
I like the phrase pig incursion.
Yes.
Sounds like a form of terrorism.
Tony, thank you.